Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Don't look at me like that. Don't look at me like that. I'm just passing along information. You want information. This is an information. ESPN, we're news and sports and entertainment, of course. Obviously entertainment. And I'm just passing along the information that Ricky Renteria said that the crochet injury impacted his plan quite a bit, that his plan was to send him out for two more innings.
Okay.
That he planned on the situation, the first inning for Dunning, and then crochet for two or three innings.
Are our Twitchers good? Everyone on the Twitch chat,
how you guys
good?
Doing? How's Twitch
ESPN 1000 Chicago.
How's
you can
doing?
Watch the show on Twitch. Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. Let's go to Jordan Merrillville. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jordan?
Hey, guys. Hey, it was two times at the beginning of that game that I figured that this wasn't going to go well for us. The first time was when they didn't add on to the lead.
Yeah.
That's the issue, especially when you don't have a starter that can go five or six innings. And then when Crochet got hurt, I said, this is probably not going to go well. But the question I have for you, I haven't heard anybody say this. In the seventh, bases loaded, two out. Adam Engel up to the plate. Why not Encarnacion? I know he hasn't been playing, particularly well, but you need some pop. You need somebody that at least he has some playoff experience and things like that. Why not try him there at that spot to maybe get lightning in a bottle?
So then what? Then you try and figure out a double move at some point to play the outfield?
You could put Dyson in.
Yeah.
You could have put Dyson in and left. You put Dyson in. You burned somebody earlier to put Dyson in to pitch run it with two out.
Yeah, that's
true.
You
could have put Dyson in left field.
Yeah, you burned Grandal late in the game to pitch run Dyson.
Exactly.
No, it's a good question. Thanks, Jordan. Thanks for the phone call. Call again, all right, man?
He's gone.
Mark in Green Oaks, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mark?
Mr. Black, Mr. Abdallah, great job. Long time principal, first time caller.
How's it going, Mr. Clement?
Yes, sir. It's going great.
How are you?
Couldn't be prouder, Chris.
Thanks, man.
I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
The question I have is, at the end of the season now, did the Sox overachieve or did they underachieve?
That's a great question. And hang on the line with us, Mark. I would say based on the expectations and based on the way they played from 2 weeks ago, they underachieved. This team should have gotten out of the wild card round.
Yeah, as I've said, expectations change. Going into the season, when we were first talking about the White Sox, and we're like, this team's going to be great. This is going to be like right before when the Cubs won the World Series. If they get to the ALDS, all right, cool. But you know what? They'll be back, and they need a few key pieces. But if these guys can just put up some numbers and just be a little plucky team, then sure. You just want them to compete and then just maybe be a tough out in the playoffs. And then they started to play like they were playing, and then you're like, okay, this team has a legit shot. They were leading the American League in batting. They ended up leading the league in batting. Like, you've got to shift your expectations. And I think that, halfway through the season, you look at this team and you're like, if this team is playing like this at the end of the season, this is a World Series contending team.
Do you think they underachieved or overachieved?
I got to be honest. I'm obviously a Northside fan for the most part, but they're a fun team to watch. And I guess, from the macro, I would say that they overachieved, because I don't think anyone expected them to necessarily make it all the way this year, kind of a year in front. But I definitely agree with what the two of you just said, and that is the way they were playing and the way that they achieved throughout the course of the year. This kind of feels like an underachievement through these three games.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mark. Thank you for all the support throughout the years. Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
It's Mark in Green Oaks.
Did he give you a lot of detention back in the day?
No, I never got detention.
You were a good kid. That's right. You didn't hang with us.
Yeah. What do you mean? What were you doing? How'd you get detentions?
How did I get detentions?
Were you putting gum on the bottom of desks?
I did get detention for chewing gum once.
Are you kicking people's shins? Were you doing?
I got detention. So in gym class, sometimes we could play our own music, and I put in an album that had swear words in it, and I got detention. I once got detention once for getting into a fight with a kid and then telling my gym teacher that you're not mad at him because he's on your basketball team.
Well, that's fair.
And then I got three detentions for it. Oh, no, I got one detention. I got sent to the dean, and then I went to the dean and I said, if I was on the football team, you wouldn't be giving me these detentions because then I wouldn't be able to play. And then he gave me two more detentions for mouthing off.
Was it true?
Huh?
Was it true?
Of course it was true. You don't give detentions to football players. That's BS.
Tom on the Northwest Side. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tom?
Oh, thanks, fellas, for getting me on the air. I appreciate it. Just wanted to say, with all the real disappointment of today, because I knew right away when they came back after the Sox had the 3-0 lead, and with Crochet going down like he did, I just knew they were going to lose. But the main thing is, what I wanted to find out from you guys is, Rodon, Encarnacion, hopefully Mazzara, who else is going to go? And we got to re-sign James McCann no matter what.
Yeah, McCann is someone that, and thanks for the call, Tom, McCann is someone that I would like to see play for this team for a long time. You know, Encarnacion, useless now.
He's out.
You know, I thought he would bring at least some power. Clearly it didn't. And
a veteran presence that this team would need.
Listen, Mazzara looks like $1 million as a baseball player. Like, if we go back to when we were kids and you just look at baseball players, like, Mazzara looks cool. He looks like a cool baseball player.
He just
can't hit.
Chris Bleck has an all-looks team, and
yes,
it's like, it's
he's got
him.
That cool baseball look.
Castellanos is on that.
Castellanos
Tim Anderson is on there,
TA
for
is
sure.
Definitely on that list. For sure. I agree. Melvin on the South Side. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Melvin?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, a little bit heartbroken,
yeah,
but I do feel like that I didn't expect this year. You know, me even in my Sox group that I have, that when we talk about it, we expected them to be maybe a little bit above 500. So I do thank them for at least making the playoffs. But as far as Rick Renteria goes, I think he has to go. Rodon, I don't understand why he was even in the game with one more out left to get. I just don't understand that. And then the second thing I wanted to say is I'm pretty sure this has already been brought up for a manager, but what about Ozzie again? I'm pretty sure he can connect to these kids and they know what they're going to get with him. I know he may be a little bit maybe controversial these days, but I would at least put him on the list. I'll listen to what you guys have to say.
Thanks for the call, Melvin. The Ozzie thing comes up all the time because he's still in town.
Yeah.
And he's on the broadcast.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you ever get the privilege of being able to talk to Ozzie again, I've been on Caps TV show.
He's such a nice guy.
A whole heck of a lot of times.
Such a nice guy.
And in the summer, the baseball show starting as Caps show, his old STL show would be ending.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be on the set with Ozzie, like, he knows baseball more than any of us. And you saw it. There was a game last week, right, where he was calling out things before it took place. And then in the post game, Chuck Arfine pointed out, like, Ozzie just told us this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And boom, the next pitch was a home run that ended the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I get why people point to Ozzie. I don't know if the organization would want to go back down that road, though.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying they have control of who's on their post-game show and pre-game show, but they have a stake in NBC Sports Chicago.
Yeah. So they decide to allow him to speak about their team.
So I don't see why.
But he's Sox royalty. I don't know. I don't
look,
know.
If I love Ozzie.
I don't know if that idea I would toss out. Someone in the Twitch chat suggested, because he works for the organization, what about Jim Thome? Would he have any interest in being a manager?
See,
that was interesting.
See, we're in a time, though, where
former players get gigs without any experience. That's what's been happening around baseball.
We're also in a time where those former players need to be okay with analytics dictating a majority of situations, dictating the lineup sometimes, dictating pitching matchups, dictating who they go to in the bullpen. And some managers are okay with it, and some managers aren't okay with it.
Are you suggesting that Jim Thome is not an analytical guy?
No, I'm not at all. But I'm saying I don't know this.
Would
I don't
Ozzie?
Know if
Would Ozzie be okay with that?
One of Ozzie's quotes was, "I just put out the lineup and pray." Like, that was one of Ozzie's quotes when he managed the White Sox before. You and I have been here long enough where we were cutting Ozzie tape. If anybody speaks Ozzie, it's you and I, because we were cutting old Ozzie postgame tape.
Oh,
and to me,
he's
great. He's a super nice guy. He's awesome. He knows a ton about baseball. But I honestly do not know if he would be willing to take the
The other name,
not orders, but take the analytical approach.
Shout out to the Twitch chat, ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch. The other name people are pointing to on Twitch, as I'm also seeing hard pass on the Tommy idea.
Yeah.
What about AJ? Does he want to manage?
Oh, man, Brzezinski? Well, AJ, you know he'll come out and fight. So I mean,
I like that. He's scrappy.
Yeah, look, catchers tend to get a lot of these positions.
I already suggested AJ Hinch
manage games.
Why not AJ?
Yeah. Why not another AJ?
Well, I mean, wasn't Hinch a catcher?
Yeah,
back in the day.
Yeah,
Steve on I-80.
David Ross
you're
is
on
a catcher
ESPN
too.
1000.
How's he doing?
Well, I mean, speaking about supporting analytics, we were just arguing about how he left Cal Hendrickson yesterday because
mm-hmm.
of feel.
Mm-hmm.
That's not very analytical.
No.
Right,
well, I mean, Theo and Jed can't run down there and go to the mound themselves.
Sure, they try. Steve on I-80, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Steve?
How you guys doing?
Good, Steve.
My question is to Sox fans. When the Cubs let Renteria go to get Madden, all the Sox fans were screaming bloody murder about how bad we did Renteria. And now I see all the Sox fans screaming, let him go, let him go. Maybe the Cubs management saw something in Renteria that they didn't think could take him to the promised land. So my question to Sox fans is, who are you crapping?
Well, I mean,
I don't know, Steve.
I think it's a different
show's been off the air for quite some time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is,
I think
is
that
the
it's,
other one on still.
I don't know. I think it's a different. It's a different situation. Hmm. I think that Renteria.
Not anybody.
Look, Renteria was brought in to connect with these young Latin players, right? And he did, a great job. But when in high pressure situations, he's proven that he can't hang. And so when you can't hang, sorry, you don't get to be a part of it anymore.
I don't know. I don't listen. I listen to Cap and Jay Hood, and then I listen to Carmen and Yurko. So I don't.
Well,
know
I don't know
either.
What. Yeah, that's. But I'm just.
What,
I'm addressing the situation.
No,
I'm just addressing.
I'm addressing the crapping situation.
Listen, can we not crap? Can we not crap? Can we keep a crap free studio?
All right. Here's the deal. Everyone, listen. If you are on hold, you will get on the air.
Yes, even you, Tim.
We are, yes. And Tim, we see you on the south side. Yes, if you are on hold, we have a full bank of phone calls, you will get on the air. We have to preview the college football week or the NFL weekend coming up next, though, with the Fat Jack. He will give us some plays. We will go right back to your phone calls after that. So stick with us. We have football talk, then back to phone calls, all coming up here on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Turn it up. Week 4 in the NFL is about to kick off with a classic matchup.
Stop.
The Denver Broncos
Stop.
At the New York Jets. The 0-3 Broncos and the 0-3 Jets.
You can't shine that up. At all.
Lord. Let's talk some gambling. Let's get ready for week 4 in the gambling weekend and also a little college football. If you need help betting the games against the spread, the NFL, college football, NBA, MLB, and UFC, every result tracked and verified daily, weekly, monthly, and season packages are all available from the Fat Jack. You can go to fatjacksports.com. You can call him at 1-800-298-298. 1383. You can also follow him on Twitter at the Fat Jack. Jack, if we look ahead here at week 4 in the NFL, a lot of great action to kind of sink our teeth into, right?
Well, I mean, still good seats remaining at the Jets game, where there would be even if they were allowing fans. This one's a little like watching an old man dry heave in the nude. So it's going to be pretty. And the problem with betting on it is that you have to watch it if you bet on it. So we're undefeated this week. We have had a very good start to the week. We had Kansas City on Monday, Lakers and the under last night. So kind of free rolling into tonight's game. But yeah, this is not one for the squeamish. You're going to have to be a huge football fan to sit through this thing.
Jack, before we get to the rest of the NFL slate in week 4, how do you see the rest of this Lakers Heat series playing out?
Yeah, you know, the line after we found out there were going to be injuries. By the way, I'm 10-1-1 at the last. And every result, everybody gets exactly the same picks. They're posted, they're documented, and then they're emailed and texted to everybody who signs up the same plays, no matter whether you sign up for the week or the whole season. You go look at the baskets, you'll see I'm 10-1-1 in the last 12 NBA plays. So very, very strong. And the line jumped to 9 after we found out that Miami's going to be missing a couple of their stars. So it was 4.5 before that. Now it's up as high as 9. Typically what happens in a situation like that is you're going to get overreaction by the general public, especially when you have the better team that's going to be healthy. So the value's absolutely with Miami. They're a balanced team. I'm not saying they're going to win by any stretch, but there's just value in covering that number. I had Lakers last night, had under 218 last night, so none of that was surprising. But what you'll find is when you get value in an underdog in a high-profile game like this, you're going to mainly find that from injuries, and that's what we're getting here. So a couple players out. Miami's probably the right side. They're balanced enough. They shoot the ball well from three. Not saying they're going to win, but I don't think they're going to lose by 20. I think this game's probably within the double digits.
So the Bears make the quarterback change. They put in Nick Foles, and he's going to be the starter. I feel like Vegas was like, let's make a bunch of money and make the Bears a dog this week, and because all of Chicago and all of Illinois will throw a bunch of money on the Bears as a home dog against the Colts. How do you like this game on Sunday?
Well, Bears fans have been very consistent in their love for their team. When Sports Gambling first opened in Indiana, you know, I was up there about every weekend, and the number one bet that year when they opened, just a couple of years ago, was Chicago to win the Super Bowl. And it was a huge, that was the number one thing. People just basically drove over the river to give their money away. So this absolutely, if you're a Chicago Bears fan, you're sitting there saying, no, wait a minute. We've finally got the quarterback that a lot of us thought was better to begin with, and we're at home. Sign me up for that plus the points. I would tell you this. I want to wait and see. I made a ton of money betting against Mr. Trubisky, mainly last year. And I like Foles a lot. He's much more consistent, can throw it where he's aimed, much more accurate passer, makes pretty good decisions. So I think he's absolutely the better choice. They're going to head the right direction. But this game is going to be – it's tough for a bunch of reasons. These two teams are not consistent. When they play each other, the game typically goes under the total, and when it's at Chicago. When Indy plays anybody else, it's normally over the total. So they score points except when they're playing Chicago. That's going to have a lot to do with how well – Indy handles the situation rather than get points on the board against that Bears defense. So I would steer clear of the game. If you make me play it, I'd probably go under the 45. So I think Chicago will be a little more conservative game plan wise, getting into the floor with things. 7-minute drives would not hurt their feelings. So a couple of easier spots. The underdog, by the way, favorites are going to get hammered this week. This is the week where general public typically loses all their money, and they're not gambling by Thanksgiving. It typically starts here. Look for teams like the people like Arizona is going to be able to go and rebound against Carolina. I had Detroit last week. I think they probably lose again. I think a lot of people will say New Orleans has got to get it done here. Detroit's not consistent enough. That's not a big number. And New Orleans trends lead them on the road and at home to be able to cover this number. Look for Detroit to put up a big fight. And the Cleveland Browns, another team that a lot of people think this Dallas team is supposed to be really good this year, and they've underperformed. They're lucky to even have a win. Atlanta, that was their win, and they were very lucky to get that. There's a reason why that number is only 4, 4.5. Dallas's defense is banged up, both in the secondary and at linebacker. And Cleveland's offense is starting to click a little bit. Certainly gets the fear of competition. But when you're talking about the Dallas defense, it's not great right now. So I like over in that game, and I take Cleveland plus the points there as well.
Yeah, Jack, I was going to actually ask you about that game next because I don't really know how to read the Browns, who are 2-1. Like, should I start believing a little bit into Baker Mayfield? I feel like Baker Mayfield's the ice cold pool, and I just want to dip my toe in. I don't want to just jump in cannonball style.
He's like your super fat friend who likes to eat a lot of deep dish pizza and loses like 6 pounds because he did eat a lot of deep dish one day. And he screams and yells how thin he's getting, but he's still 400. And then you look up a couple of weeks from that, and he's lost another 4 or 5 pounds. That's who Cleveland is. They scream and yell how good they're going to be, how good they should be, but they are the little engine that could that keeps getting better. They've got some weapons offensively. They run the ball effectively. Mayfield is going to make fewer mistakes. Last year, he was the worst quarterback in the league at making unforced errors, meaning he dropped back in the pocket, got no pressure, and made a mistake, threw it to the wrong team. He was the worst in the league in that category. He is going to regress more toward the mean this year, and he's doing that. He's making better decisions. You'll see him throw the ball away more. He's still doing the same stupid commercials for Progressive, but still, the guy's getting better. And so if he's getting better, they're going to improve as a team. So points-wise, they're going to be able to get it done, as is Dallas. Dallas will run the ball effectively and throw it. They have a very good offense. But both these defenses still a little bit suspect. So over the total, probably the better play. But Cleveland is getting better. They're just not as good as they think they are.
Well, I mean, Jack, come on. We all know the diet starts on Monday. The best game on the NFL slate is probably Kansas City, New England. Kansas City dismantled the Ravens. They look like a machine. It's crazy to see how much better, Andy Reid gets better at play calling somehow every single week with what he draws up. So this game, this might be their next big test. We're like, well, who's going to test the Chiefs next? It might be the Patriots. Do you see the Patriots giving the Chiefs any run for their money at all?
Yeah, just a little bit of a caution here. I go one in Kansas City, and everybody's super fired up. And I think they believe that they're going to win and cover 15 games. Well, actually, 14 and 15 they didn't cover against the Chargers. But the reality is that this team will most likely lose a couple games. History is any type of guide. And by the way, I had Kansas City Monday. It was an easy, easy win. I'm very excited I didn't have Baltimore. But they are going to be challenged some. They're going to probably lose a game or two, and this is one of those games they can lose. A short week, they're playing a New England team that doesn't have Brady, but under Belichick and company, New England, they always come game. This, you know, the number one team that's covered more in the last decade than anybody, and that's with Brady, with the expectations of Brady, are the New England Patriots. They cover 60% of the time over the last decade. By the way, the worst team covering over the decade, Cleveland Browns. So there you go. Overvalued and underperforming. So New England figures out a way to get it done. Kansas City on a short week, five of the last six have gone over in the series. Five of the last six have gone over when New England's going on the road. So they're not afraid to go on the road and score points. And I think that Cam Newton's getting better every single time he goes out. So I'm not saying they're going to win, but it's certainly one of those dangerous spots if you're a favorite player who likes to just play the better team and doesn't know how to factor in the line. And that's why you go to FatJackSports.com. Everybody can tell you who the best team is. That's not who wins you money. It's whoever is best in relationship to that point, the points and that line, and that's what I'm able to do. So I actually lean toward New England plus the points in that one.
Last week I asked you about the L.A. Rams traveling to Buffalo, and Buffalo beat them, and they were a big in that contest. Now Buffalo goes on the road to Las Vegas. How do you see this game playing out this weekend?
Yeah, you know, here's the funny thing. We've had about five games. I think I'm 1-8 right now, and games decided on the last 2 minutes, and a lot of it for absolutely no reason. Things like Leonard Fournette running 70 yards against Tampa. And that game there, you can look at that Buffalo-Rams game one of two ways. Either Buffalo looked great and then bad, or they looked really, really bad in the second half and then got real lucky to get a pass interference call that looked like a phantom call to me. So I think Buffalo's vulnerable here for sure. People are loving Josh Allen right now. And I'm not a lover of what Las Vegas is going to be week in and week out. But the only thing I don't like about this is you're getting that home bias about by the way, I have the Jets are up 7-0. That might be enough in this one. 7-0 may be enough. We might get there 7-0.
It's the first to 10. It's the first to 10.
Yeah. Go do a replay of the last dance or something.
That's exactly right. I'm going to go find that naked man dry heaving in the nude, watch it for a while. But anyway, so I like the Vegas this week, but I don't love the line. Vegas, the line setters like Buffalo here for sure, because Vegas gets a lot of that home field bias, that home money that will file in from Las Vegas. So you talk about the Bears and what they're going to do with that line. Similar here with Las Vegas. A ton of money, a ton of public money will come in on Las Vegas. And so Buffalo holds a 3-point favorite. I'll probably steer clear, but I am 0-1 playing against them because I had the Rams. But I definitely think that Buffalo is still a little bit of a fraud. So I'll probably stay away from the game, though.
Thank you, Jack. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week on Thursday at 7:15. Thanks again.
Perfect. Yeah, 169 everything through Monday, 199 everything through Monday football and basketball, or $499 through Halloween. That's less than $100 a week at FatJackSports.com to win, and you'd be on the Jets right now that have you up 7-0. So get signed up today. You guys have a good week.
That's the Fat Jack. Go to his website, FatJackSports.com, 800-298-1383. Follow him on Twitter, at the Fat Jack. Need help betting the games against the spread, the NFL, college football, NBA. He gave us some NBA information tonight as well. MLB and UFC, every result tracked and verified daily, weekly, monthly, and season packages are all available. Your phone calls on the White Sox are coming up next.
Your wife's out of town, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you and the Sam Darnold touchdown might have a time tonight.
Oh, yeah. Is that good? Is that good, boy. Darnold? Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It reminds you of the SC days.
Oh, boy.
Fight on.
Oh,
all right.
Oh, boy.
White Sox phone calls coming up next. Oh, Southside Tim hung up.
Oh.
I was going to get him on next, but... All right, we'll take Benjamin. He's up next on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
The White Sox are eliminated from the playoffs tonight. The A's win 6-4. They advance to the ALDS. That will start on Monday. Astros, A's, and the ALDS. The other side of the bracket will be the Yankees and the Rays. For your American League playoffs, you can hear the Chicago Cubs on our air tomorrow here on ESPN 1000, whenever that game is scheduled. Right now, We are in a holding pattern because the outcomes of tonight's games will go into how the schedule is tomorrow for Major League Baseball in the playoffs.
Pretty easy.
You want to break it down? Hold on. Let me get the baseball tonight chart.
The Cardinals
are
leading.
You want to break the fourth wall and just lay it all out there for our listeners?
Here's the thing. No, it's not fourth wall. It's basic information.
It's the private Cardinals, information. You're sharing
private
with the listeners.
It's not private at all. MLB tweeted it out.
You got to keep them guessing sometimes.
No, you don't. Let them know what's happening.
All right, let them know.
The Cardinals are leading the Padres 4-0 in the bottom of the fourth inning. The Brewers and Dodgers have yet to play. If the Cardinals win and the Dodgers win, the Cubs game will be at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. If the Padres should come back and win, or if the Brewers win, the Cubs game will be at 1 o'clock tomorrow. It's pretty simple. If there's more than one game, they'll be at 1. If they're the only game, it'll be at 6. Pretty easy.
So we're talking White Sox baseball since the season is over. Your thoughts at 312-332-3776. Do we go to him now? Is this the time?
No, you said Benjamin was next. Fulfill your promise.
All right. Benjamin on the north side. You're on ESPN 1000. Go ahead, Benjamin.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Been listening to you guys for a while already. Basically a first-time caller. But
thanks,
my question is for the Sox. What is your guys' expectations for next year after what happened in this series?
For the season outcome next year?
I predict them to have a very good season next year. That's not a doubt in my head. But like, how far do you guys expect them to go? Like, I'm expecting at least getting to the World Series next year.
Okay, let's address it. Thanks for the call, Benjamin. Call again, all right, man?
No problem, guys. Have a good night.
You too, Benjamin. So here's how I would answer that. I think next season, absolutely, you need to at least be second place in the division. I get that the Twins are going to be good again, but remember coming into this season, all the talk was that the Indians were going to sell off pieces because they weren't going to be any good anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You got to beat the Indians next year. You got to at least be in the top two in the division. Now, remember, the playoff format's probably not going to be what we saw in this current 2020 playoff format. It's going to go back to the old style, probably.
Yeah.
I kind of like the way this is working.
They're going to keep some teams.
Okay,
more teams in the playoffs.
So to address it more specifically, you got to get a third starter in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
You hope that Cease and Dunning excel in their development, and thus you have five legit starters. You have a new manager, and I think next season to me, realistic expectations would be the championship series.
ALCS.
ALCS.
Get to the ALCS.
I'm with
That's you. Realistic expectations. Get to the ALCS.
Because the Sox are a cute little team, all right?
Whoa.
They're a cute little team.
No. Mm.
Let's go to Tim on the south side. Tim, you're on ESPN 1000. Hello, sir.
You know, I hung on. You guys know I hung on for an hour here to listen to this crap. But you do realize... I mean, holy...
Wait. The Sox are crap, or are we crap? The show.
You're crap.
Okay.
Because you took so long to get to me.
But we have a full phone bank of calls. Ask Eric.
We've got all these calls.
And we talked to Fat Jack.
You guys should be embarrassed from this whole freak... I just thank God the Cubs had postponed their game so the whole city of Chicago could see Ricky Renteria at his best. I mean, this was the most embarrassing freaking loss. You guys talk about Joe Maddon in Game 7 of the World Series. This was like Captain Kangaroo against Ray Rayner. This was the most embarrassing freaking loss in the history of baseball. Ricky Renteria doesn't deserve, if you guys don't say it, you guys are embarrassing as White Sox fans, and you guys are White Sox fans. I could come here and do all the Tim stuff and rip the crap, but this was the most embarrassing freaking exhibition of baseball I've ever seen in my life, yanking a pitcher after one inning. This is embarrassing.
It wasn't even one inning. It was 15 pitches, Tim.
I'm embarrassed for you. I'm embarrassed for White Sox fans. Now you're going to go into next year. You're going to hire Jim Borland? I mean, holy freaking crap.
Jim Borland.
This is embarrassing. I mean, now you guys expect to go into next year saying this wasn't a real year. This was just a fake year. We weren't really supposed to win. Now next year, we're supposed to win with Ricky. You guys are embarrassing as White Sox fans, and I'll let you talk.
Well, Tim, did you hear us start the program? I mean, I'm with you.
I heard Ricky keeping me on hold for 30 minutes.
Well, if you were listening, you heard me say that I thought it was some of the dumbest managing I've ever seen.
Well, I agree. 3 years of Ricky.
At the end of the season.
Not just today.
Yes.
You guys are burying your heads in the hand
like white sausages.
This is Jim Borland. You gotta wipe out.
No, he said ostriches.
Don Cooper is an embarrassment.
Can I ask you a question, Tim? What is the crappiest part of our crap show that we have here?
The crappiest part of your crap show is that you try to like diverge your attention. Like last night, you talked all about the Cubs loss instead of Dallas Keuchel. You talked all about the Cubs not hitting in 2017. You know how you don't hit? You don't hit in 2017? You make it to the playoffs in 2017. You make it to the playoffs in 2018. You make it to the playoffs in 2020. The White Sox make it to the playoffs once, and this is an embarrassment to you as a White Sox fan. And that's what you should say. You should say, this is ridiculous.
Tim, do you like good question?
Go ahead.
No, do you like good question? That segment we do. Do you like good question?
Do I like what?
Good question. The segment we do.
Yeah,
you said our whole show's crap. I'm running our segments. I'm running our segments by you. So do you like good question?
Yeah, we're just seeing.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Do you like Bro Connor's White Sox report?
You guys are trying to like hide your heads in the sand that you have one of the worst managers in baseball. But maybe
we covered that.
We said that.
Yes, we said that. We're on to the show.
We said that.
We're on to our silly program.
We said that. Yeah, we're doing our silly bits now.
We need critiques of the program.
Do you like the Fat Jack? Do you make any plays?
Hang on a second. One second. Chris, let's get back to serious talk. I talked to Jonathan Hood. I talked to Kaplan.
They hung up on you in 10 seconds. Are you going to call their show tomorrow?
The only time the White Sox and the Cubs play together,
Tim, can you promise me something? Will you call Cap tomorrow?
This is just White Sox tonight. The White Sox are one of the worst freaking
managers. We've got a lot of other calls on the line. Do you want to stay on and we'll take calls with you?
You can listen with us. Yeah, listen with us.
Listen to me.
And critique it.
One freaking second.
Send me notes.
Go to Alex and Wheeling, Eric.
Send me notes.
Alex, you're on. Oh, he hung up. All right, fine.
No, yeah, Tim's gone. I mean, I wanted notes.
Hi, Alex. How are you?
Go ahead.
I'll follow Tim. No worries.
Go ahead, Alex.
I'll say this. The intro, it's a good question. It's probably the best intro for any segment on the station. Big fan of that one.
Shout out to Eric Strauss.
Eric made it. I don't know if we're going to have time to play the intro tonight. It's long. But just because we have so many good Sox fans on the line.
Thanks for telling me, Alex. Yeah, I totally forgot. I got to have that open ready.
I said, we're not playing it tonight. You're good.
Go ahead, Alex.
I think you guys asked about underachieving or overachieving this year. Mm-hmm. I think they just achieved. We knew they were young. And I think the only thing that can really help smooth out the youth or the youthfulness of in the postseason is a good manager, and that's not what they had. And that's why, like, my expectations were average, because you knew that it's a young squad, and I didn't think the manager was going to help. I thought he was going to harm, and he has been harming them, and he did. So I think next year, if they want to get to the ALCS, it has to be with the new guy coaching them up and making sure that they're all right, because then I can't really see that with Renteria. And Abdallah, I'll say this to something you mentioned earlier. with your detentions. Some of the most sensitive dudes I've ever met are head coaches.
Oh, yeah.
Their stars are in trouble.
Oh, 100%. 100%. They didn't like me speaking truths, Alex. They didn't like it.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. These are guys that are built a house of straws right there.
100%.
Thanks, Alex. Yeah, talk to you soon.
You guys got a great program. Always enjoy.
Thanks, Ben. Call again, all right?
Thank you.
Let's go. How about this? For two guys who get to host the college football show here on ESPN 1000 with Jonathan Hood, Chicago's College Tailgate on at 9 a.m. this Saturday.
Early. Get up.
How about this? Listening on the ESPN Chicago app, Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Woo!
Let's go to Rob. Rob, you're on ESPN 1000. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're great.
What's up, man?
I'm blown away by Tim. I'm originally a Northsider. I'm a Cub fan, but I do root for the Sox. I'm a weird one. And I just want to make the comparison to the White Sox this year to the Blackhawks back in, I want to say, what was it, 2010-12, when Dennis Savard was leading the team. They got all the talent, and then they said, okay, now we need a leader. And they brought in Coach Q. And that's where I think the White Sox are. That's just my opinion. And I'm going to hang up and listen for your response. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, Rob. Thanks for the phone call. I agree. It feels like a lot of the pieces are lined up, ready to go. They just need that third starter and someone to correctly manage this team. And yeah, there is no limit to the ceiling for this ball club because of all the great talent they have that is young and under control. So I agree. All right, we have a lot of phone calls. Mm-hmm. Good question coming up. Quick break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Thanks for listening to the program tonight. Eric Ostrowski produced the show. If you want to hear the Fat Jacks picks, check out the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. If you don't have the ESPN Chicago app,
what are you doing?
Download the ESPN Chicago app. That's where you can find all the shows from ESPN 1000 right there. The moment you open it, the app plays.
It just starts playing.
All the podcasts are right there. If you're looking for the podcast,
you download
right
them.
There.
They're right there. They're right there.
ESPN Chicago app. All right, here's the deal. We got like 8 minutes. We have a bunch of phone calls.
Yes.
We have good question coming up.
Yes.
A segment that Southside Tim has never heard of, apparently.
That's okay.
He's never heard of good question.
Got a pretty cute team.
I don't think he listens. I think he just knows we're on and then just calls.
Okay. Well, that's great. We appreciate whatever he's doing there. Just
keep doing
sure.
it. Keep doing
congrats.
It.
Congrats.
Got a pretty cute
good luck
team
to your
there.
Cubs tomorrow, sir, with the Marlins. Okay, so here's the deal. We got to get through all of these calls, and then we're going to get to good question. Mike and Oak Lawn, you're on first. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, gentlemen. First of all, I want to say I'm a big fan of your show. I'm proud of you guys for having this show. I love hearing some White Sox fans talk.
Thanks, Mike. We appreciate you.
That guy, Tim, sounds like he's been drinking a lot longer than that before that game started. Sounds like the type of guy that's been kicked out of every bar in the south side of Chicago. I want to say the White Sox, listen, I walked into this season before everything got shut down and everything for a while. I'm like, I would be happy if we were in the wild card contention. We took it a step further. That means we did a little bit better. Yeah, we got to tighten up pitching. And if Renteria is gone, so be it, whatever. Hopefully it's an upgrade after that. I'm happy with what we did. We fizzled out at the end, and I think that is because we're young and dumb, and we'll get better as we get older. So I'm very proud of what we did this year, and I can't wait to see what's next.
Thanks for the call, Mike. We appreciate it. Tony and Beverly, you're on ESPN 1000.
Guys, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. Before everyone burns Renteria in effigy, just keep in mind the man has a great calming effect on the culture he's established the team. I mean, I don't think some of the players we signed from Cuba would have joined the team if Renteria wasn't involved in probably the acquisition of them. So before we burn him in effigy, let's keep that in mind for next year. And he is a young coach trying to do this for the first time. With that, there's four things I think the Sox need to make moves on for next year. Get rid of Rodon, Gonzalez, and Lopez. Put the young guys in the bullpen. Get a top-notch starter. Keep that platoon with, again, McGann and Grandal. Find a right fielder who can bring in RBIs and change that. I don't mean go make up with Missouri. And thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it, man. Let's go to Jesse in Munster, Indiana. Jesse, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? Love the new show.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
I was at a bar a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking to somebody in the Sox organization who happened to be there, who I won't say his name, but it rhymes with Don Fiddle. And he was telling me, well, I was telling him I would love to see Ozzie Guillen back as manager, or maybe even A.J. Pierzynski, and he said it'll never happen. Number one, Ozzie burned way too many bridges, and Kenny won't have it. And Pierzynski is too confrontational, and one of his players is going to end up punching him in the face. But I think we can all agree Ricky does need to be gone at the end of this year.
Thanks for the call, Jesse. We appreciate it. Alan Lamont, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Al?
Guys, we should not be celebrating this. This was an opportunity to win the World Series, and we blew it. I'm a Sox fan. I was excited. I'm disappointed. We're all going to rant on Ricky. Ricky's got to go. Mm-hmm. I want Eduardo Perez because we're not going to sign Ozzy next year. So let's bring in Eduardo Perez. Let him run the team. But this was a huge missed opportunity. Let's not forget that. Yes, we didn't expect it, but while we are there. We should take advantage. We did not. Thank you, Ricky. You blew it. Like Ricky from Boys in the Hood sent you guys a tweet earlier. Let's get Eduardo Perez, okay?
That's a good idea, Al. Thanks for the call. I mean, Eduardo Perez interviewed for managerial jobs this last offseason.
Mm-hmm. He did.
So, I mean, that could be an option.
He brings up a good point about Renteria and how he's built relationships with all these players.
I don't disagree.
But you don't want to piss off your players. But they need a better manager.
Listen, I think they'll understand.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I mean, they all saw what took place in the first inning, right?
I'm just making points here, man. I'm just making points.
Dre in Denver listening on the ESPN Chicago app. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Dre?
Hey, guys. Great season. I want to see Ricky get a full year. But if he's gone, my choice is Alex Cora. I want Rodon gone. I want... this is two other guys I can't think of it right now, but I want Lopez, and I want it's one more guy Edward Encarnacion. I want him gone too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Ricky deserves another year. But if he doesn't,
year,
I know he's going to say cheater.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I know he's going to say a cheater, but he's great. He took Boston to a World Series, and he's good with young guys. He'll take him from point B to point A to get a little championship.
Thanks for the call. All right, Dre? Appreciate it, man.
All right,
that was Dre in Denver.
West Coast bias in Twitch chat, twitch.tv. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago says your boy Small Hands Darnold is hurt again.
What? What happened?
He fell on his shoulder.
I saw that run, that touchdown run. How about that? Take that. Sam Darnold, fight on. All right. So each week here on the show on Thursday nights, we give you good and great questions. The segment is called Good Question because when our hosts ask a question to guests on the phone, you score a point. This year's 2020 leaderboard is who are the top three?
Good question. The number one spot goes to one G. Thomas Waddle. He has 36 questions. In second place, Hood with 31. And tied for third place is Sylvie and Cap with 28.
We don't have time for the open, so here is this week's edition of Good Question. No, we got to play. We're running out of time.
The over is hit a lot more than usual in the first 2 weeks. I think it's a record, like as far as the average points per game. I think like 50 per game. That stopped last night, but do you think that's going to continue? And is Vegas adjusted on the total?
It's a great question.
Next Tuesday, do the White Sox open the playoffs and over the road?
That's a very good question. When I look at the offense for the Crimson Tide, it's like Sarkisian, boy. The offensive coordinator. How has he fit in with Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide there in Tuscaloosa?
An Alabama question.
It's a good question.
When you look at the Crimson Tide, I think Jonathan the three of us, including you, would say
Tide
Tide would be the favorite in the questions. West.
Roll Tide.
Second, who really stands out as someone that could really turn some heads second or maybe third in the West?
Yeah, it's a very good question.
When will we see more of Cole Kmet?
Yerko!
Yerko! Good question.
They keep promising that. And tight ends coach Clancy Barone on Monday said he's surprised they haven't seen more of them yet. so it's a really good question.
There it is.
It counts. Yurko gets the point.
It does. It does. It does. It does. It was leading
the teamwork.
It's a little leading the witness. It's a little leading the witness. It's a little leading the witness. But you know.
We will be later on tonight, 9 o'clock. The Dodgers and Brewers. You can hear it right here on ESPN 1000. Mm-hmm. Black and Abdallah. We will be back tomorrow at 2 with Waddle and Sylvie. If there's no Cubs game, we'll tweet out when we're on. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.